Next headline is, scientific progress does not bode well for mankind. Professor Hans-Gawon Quartenthagassen, one of the leading genetic engineers in Germany, had the following to say about the goals of genetic engineering. We can alter living beings by inserting smaller or larger DNA elements just as with a construction kit. The decisive advantage in genetic engineering is the gain in time. Genetic techniques are extraordinarily fast. As with nuclear fission, which led to atomic bombs and nuclear power stations, and modern electronics which changed our working environment, so will the new biology, particularly genetic engineering, speed up the construction of life forms according to specifications which we have stipulated. This statement is clear. Genetic engineers want to create life forms that comply with conditions stipulated by man. They do not accept the natural order of things, but deliberately want to alter life, and this, in the way that man wants it. Man has altered many things in the course of human history, but has the human condition and the state of the earth improved as a result? Have working conditions, for example, improved with the introduction of electronics? What has been improved with the use of atomic reactors which have become dangerous powder kegs all over the earth? What has improved because of atomic bombs, or atomic bomb tests which have been carried out on the earth? How many people have lost their jobs thanks to electronics? How many people have become sick as a result of nuclear energy? By taking a closer look, we can recognize that on a basic level little has changed for the positive. Superficially, some relief has been given to human life, but in the final analysis people are not any healthier or happier, nor more satisfied, quite the contrary. They live an externalized life and are more and more dependent on those things that are produced by the external world. And if we look more deeply, we discover that people are worse off than they ever were. This is why many people have a longing for better quality, that is, for more depth to life, instead of quantitative profits which carry a high price. Were people aware of the consequences of nuclear fission when they first heard of its possibility? Or when they marveled over the first electronic gadgets? The avalanche, which was set into motion at the time, could not be stopped shortly after. This experience leads us to the following questions. What sense do alterations make if all they produce for mankind is tragedy, hardship and disaster? From this point of view, let's take a look at the latest spawn of progress, genetic engineering. What will come of it? What does genetic engineering really offer mankind? What does gene manipulation mean for the individual, and what repercussions does it entail for all of humanity? This book is intended to help the reader find answers to these questions. Next headline is, nothing happens by chance, even in the realms of causal law. Scientists counter the opponents of gene manipulation with the argument that the alteration of the genetic makeup of organisms has always been the basis of evolution for all life processes in nature and on our planet. They say that this evolution has taken a sensible course without negative consequences and that it will be no different when alterations are carried out using genetic methods. However, in these natural processes we are not dealing with gene manipulation brought about by man but with spontaneous mutations which arose directly from nature and were then subject to natural selection. We know that in all of infinity chance does not exist. The events that take place in the purely spiritual divine universe, that is, in heaven, follow immutable divine laws, which in their totality are called the absolute law. In the four realms the law of cause and effect is in operation, also known as the law of sowing and reaping. The four realms are the abode for those spirit beings which fell from God by infringing upon the eternal laws of heaven. In this way, they distanced themselves from the absoluteness, from the eternal kingdom of God, the being, and went into the depth and limitation of human self-centered existence, that is, into the spheres of matter. Such people and souls are guided directly by the causal law, because of their negative thoughts and actions, they cannot be reached by the direct guidance of God, the eternal law. Within the realm of causal law, the fact is that man creates his own human nature and characteristics as well as his environment through his base humanness, his negative feelings, sensations, thoughts, words and actions. Man himself has caused whatever befalls him. And so, he has to search for the reasons for the changes on earth and in his environment within himself, and needs to correct them through himself. These issues are cleared up by the recognition of the wrong, by repenting, forgiving and asking for forgiveness, by making amends and no longer committing what he recognized was wrong. Instead, he acts law-abidingly from then on, that is, according to the Ten Commandments and the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. During the course of human history, seemingly chance mutations of new types of plants and animals have emerged. These have to be seen in light of the law of cause and effect which guides the events on earth, because nothing happens by chance. The order of events of cause and effect within the causal law is meant to lead to self-recognition, followed by clearing up the wrong. This leads to a reintegration into the absolute law of heaven. It is especially into this lawful order of events that a highly specialized science which disregards all moral and ethical parameters intrudes. In the meantime, genetic engineering has progressed to such an extent that it is possible to fundamentally influence the genes of both simple and more highly developed living beings. Whatever is possible with animals is, in principle, also possible with human beings. Literature from biology and medicine confirms this, for the biotechnical prerequisites exist to influence human germ cells. We know from the history of mankind that when technical possibilities for manipulation exist, there is the danger that such use will be made of it, often at first secretly. The following quote from an article in the New York Times on January 5, 1996 confirms this. The proponents of xenotransplants worry that animal rights or religious groups opposed to the genetic manipulation of living creatures may raise emotional and political barriers to progress. So they are proceeding quietly. Nothing will be left to chance. Everything can be controlled. Increasingly, plants as well as animals and humans will be designed and put together as one sees fit. Plant and animal breeding has always existed, but the effects remained relatively harmless, although there is plenty of documented evidence that points to risks even at this level of interference, as per the following quotes. Additions of non-indigenous organisms can influence the structure, population size and species diversity, and function, energy and material dynamics, of ecological communities through a variety of mechanisms that sometimes displace or destroy indigenous species. And further, so many factors interact in the environment to determine where there will be trouble, that prediction of just which species introductions will cause ecological disruptions is nearly beyond the ability of ecologists and population biologists. Perhaps these results alone point to the fact that even at this level, such an interference is unlawful, that is, against the divine law, for the natural law is a part of the divine law. The natural order on our planet is subject to the divine laws. But through these experiments and manipulations, nature is being forced to accept something that would not happen in and of itself. Genetic engineering, however, goes far beyond what has long been practiced in conventional plant and animal breeding. These went no further than the replacement of the genetic material of similar genomes, for instance, between horse and donkey, or between wild and cultivated plants. Animals which have become estranged to their nature and species through human intervention are no longer in harmony with themselves and with the living conditions into which they have been unnaturally placed. It is permissible for man to use and to multiply natural mutations. Everything else is unlawful interference, a additional aspects of the burden which man has inflicted upon himself. An article written when this issue first became a public controversy points to our limitations. Our knowledge of how the human body works is still elementary. Our understanding of how the mind, both conscious and subconscious, functions is even more rudimentary. The genetic basis for instinctual behavior is largely unknown. Our disagreements about what constitutes humanhood are notorious, and our insight into what, and to what extent, genetic components might play a role in what we comprehend as our spiritual side is almost non-existent. We simply should not meddle in areas where we are so ignorant. through the massive interference of genetic engineering into the genome of totally different forms of life. The limits set by breeds and species have fallen. This is why genetic engineering is so dangerous. Man's willfulness always has its consequences. Since the motives for his actions are not lawful, that is, are not selfless, his actions are egocentric, and he will be able to recognize his wrongdoing by its effects. It is virtually impossible to keep industrial processes under control. In a bioreactor, where trillions of microorganisms, usually E. coli bacteria, are active and play a part in the production of certain substances, mutations can easily occur. Such mutations can create new products, for instance, certain proteins. All these can escape and then transfer to humans. The breeding reactors, which operate with E. coli bacteria, release some into the atmosphere and even more into the wastewater. What would happen in the end when such a reactor blows a comparable to an atomic MCA, maximum credible accident, A, is not conceivable. Every person has billions of E. coli bacteria in his intestines, which are beneficial and necessary. What are the consequences when, for instance, gene-manipulated E. coli bacteria happen to get into the human intestine and take over? No one knows the answer. But is it possible to prevent such an occurrence? The question is, do we really unintentionally go about setting something like this into motion? Should we not fear such a risk, instead of being surprised by it like the Sorcerer's Apprentice? There are serious, critical scientists who are presumably well-informed A raise the question whether HIV/1 viruses were created in American experimental laboratories. We also know that many biological weapons in bacteriological and viral warfare were and are newly manufactured. And so, genetically manipulated anthrax bacteria was held in readiness during the Gulf War, for instance, but was not officially deployed. Nonetheless, the American troops were vaccinated against anthrax. Therefore, we cannot speak of unintentional or unforeseeable, the least we can speak of is gross negligence. Next headline is, can foreign genes from animals have an effect in human beings? Will there still be natural reproduction of human beings at all in a few years, or only those which have been manipulated in test tubes? A skillfully planned and implemented manipulation could produce types of human beings that combine many desired traits, who might then be selected as the elite, the geniuses and leaders, in politics, economy and science. In gynecology we hear of the transfer of embryos, of fertility experiments, and we know, for instance, that in modern practices of animal husbandry embryos are strongly influenced. Foreign genes are injected into the embryos for specific purposes. What is possible with a cow is, in principle, also possible with a human being, and we can therefore not exclude the possibility that such attempts will be made. We do not have concrete evidence, but we cannot ignore the possibilities for this, given that, from experience, we can say that a person who believes he is close to the fulfillment of all his wishes, to success and fame, for example, seldom exhibits moral and ethical scruples. This can be observed in the area of animal experiments and medical transplants. Let us take a look at the results of the genetic manipulation of a cow. It is relatively simple to enormously increase milk production. This has already happened. The goal is to obtain up to 20,000 quarts per year. Such a cow can hardly walk, and she can no longer reproduce. She is programmed solely to produce milk. One may feel that although it is rather regrettable for the cow, man now has the use of the milk, so that something positive has been achieved. However, upon further examination, a quite different conclusion can be reached. It is quite possible that the gene for the growth hormone which was inserted into the cow could be transferred, via milk intake, into a human being and lead to changes in growth. For instance, the hands or the feet could become abnormally large, or the woman who breastfeeds her baby could produce too much milk. These are effects which no one reckons with when one innocently drinks a glass of milk or eats some yogurt. Even the enjoyment of a piece of cheese can produce surprising side effects. in the manufacture of cheese, microorganisms, that is, bacteria, are used. Furthermore, there is danger that mold can form on the cheese. Now killer cheeses are produced, whose specialty is a genetically manipulated microorganism that produces an antibiotic so that mold cannot form. Cheese thus becomes a producer of antibiotics. When we eat this cheese, we also absorb the antibiotic into our digestive tract. No information about the manufacturing method is listed on the packaging label of the cheese. In general, such genetically manipulated foods do not have to be declared, so the consumer does not know what he is eating. There are neither labeling requirements nor official inspections for genetically manipulated foodstuffs in all of the European Economic Union or European domestic markets, and the same is true of the United States. Could the reason for this non-requirement be the fear of the food processing industry that with such a labeling requirement people would not buy these products? If we believe the geneticists, then we have nothing to fear when a piece of gene-manipulated cheese lands on our plate. Unfortunately, this is improbable. Next headline is, gene transfer via our groceries. We know from the world of insects that genes can be transferred. An objection could be raised here to say this is only possible with simple life forms. In more highly evolved organisms, there is no so-called horizontal gene transfer, that is, no spontaneous exchange of genetic material among similar species and most certainly not among human beings. But such an assumption could be a mistake. It is an established fact, for instance, that partners who have had sexual contact for decades not only become more alike in their habits, a reciprocal adoption of human programs having taken place, but also grow more and more similar in their outer appearance. Often the woman becomes more masculine and the man more feminine. This would indicate that a transfer, an exchange, has taken place. The horizontal transfer of outside DNA components into normal cells can lead to unpredictable results. The reality is that science does not know what can take place when foreign DNA is absorbed into a body's genetic makeup. The insertion of a gene into the genome of a recipient does not guarantee its reaching its target, considering that via nutrition only 1%, or even less, 1 in a thousand. Foreign genes can penetrate the walls of the intestines and blood vessels to reach its target. For the intended purpose, however, this is sufficient, and the distribution of gene fragments through manipulated foods is certainly the most effective way. Almost all daily newspapers report about genetically manipulated foods. The Saar One-Quartered Courier, a South German daily, wrote already on August 28, 1992, at the latest in 1993, when the restrictions fall in the European Economic Community and domestic markets, consumers will find genetically manipulated foods on the shelves and coolers of supermarkets, because the food processing industry is undergoing an enormous revolution. Fast-growing carp, calorie-light beef, rectangular potatoes, suitable for French fries or English chips, anti-cancer strawberries, a geneticists may call this possible. Another title from the Gene Lab directly to the supermarket, the VDI, Society of German Engineers, News of June 5, 1992 reported, with barely 70 foods straight out of the test tube, biotechnology is ready to march into American supermarkets. With the announcement of the US government by the past Vice President, Dan Quayle, that genetically altered foods are considered to be basically harmless, a new era may start in the history of human nutrition. According to information from the Federal Environment and Nature Protection Agency in Germany, several large breweries in North Rhine-Westphalia started utilizing such microbes in yeast in January 1993, when the EEG, European Economic Community, Commission's permit took effect, allowing production of genetically altered foodstuffs. Under an article entitled The Creeping Danger in the Christusstadt Weltweit No. 2, January 1996, we find the following: they grow 10 times faster than their normal contemporaries of the same species, gene-manipulated salmon from a fish farm in Scotland. Their roe will soon be sold to other fish farms, a good business. But at whose cost? Because the mesh of the underwater fences is not tight enough, Salmon swim out again and again. In some of Scotland's rivers, the percentage of escaped salmon is already at 90%. It is only a question of time until some of the nice new salmon mate with the still non-manipulated fish. One can only guess at the results for nature in Scotland. Uncontrolled spreading, transfer of these genes to animals and people, suppression of the natural species, mutations and new illnesses. Just as with nature, man is handed over to this progressive genetic manipulation without protection. At least a labeling requirement on gene-manipulated foods would be a great help. But there is no such requirement in the USA or for trade within the European Union. The Commission of the European Union wants to permit the US chemical giant, Monsanto, to import gene-manipulated soybeans to Europe. A gene has been inserted in the beans which makes them immune to the herbicide Roundup. Thus, the poison can be sprayed on the bean fields without qualms. Austria, Denmark and Sweden voiced objections to the import permit. The US government promptly exercised political pressure. After all, almost 40% of the US soybean crop is sold to Europe. The Nature Protection Society of North Rhine-Westphalia has reported that many people with allergies react better to fruit from old species of trees than to the fruits coming from normal trade. German press agency, December 20, 1995, they attribute this to the fact that modern fruits are more frequently treated with genetic engineering in order to make them keep better. Next headline is, the danger of damages from genetically altered products rises with the increasing presence of environmental poisons. The dispersion of gene fragments can no longer be controlled, because genetically engineered products are now being used to a great extent. Genetic engineering is a considerable economic factor in the Western world, and control or supervision is no longer feasible. In the Society of German Engineers News of April 3, 1992, it was stated that genetic experiments make sense only when they are carried out on a broad basis, meaning with the use of outdoor experimentation. However, the question of eventual risk by the release of transgenic organisms remains unanswered. Certainly the population should be included in this clarification process as well as in the consequences that follow their results of these experiments. Furthermore, the same newsletter stated that during a period of 15 years, at the time of writing, 4 years ago, millions of genetic experiments had been carried out in over 10,000 laboratories. The program Biotechnology 2000 inches demanded scientific, basic research as well as industrial research in the areas of pharmacology, agribusiness and environment. According to the Hessian Ministry of the Environment, in Germany alone there were over 1,300 genetic laboratories in 1992. Scientists working in these laboratories are aware that they are interfering in the destiny of many people, the destiny of entire nations, even of humanity as a whole. The potential of genetic engineering would indicate that in the next few years the changes in the area of medicine and nutrition will be greater than during the entire history of mankind. The question is whether these scientists are aware of the responsibility, which lies in their hands. It is said again and again that the release of transgenic, that is, gene-manipulated, microorganisms is entirely safe. However, already in the February 15, 1992 issue of the German Daily Welt we could read that a scientist from the University of Pennsylvania found that an hour after releasing gene-manipulated sludge, the bacteria present in the vicinity of the sludge were already manipulated and thus altered. Within an hour the gene fragments were transferred from manipulated bacteria into non-manipulated bacteria. Are we aware of what this means? Within a short time all bacteria in the vicinity of this sludge had been gene-manipulated. It is a well-known fact that sludge is very often returned to the soil. In this way, a transfer to growing plants can reach the consumer through the food chain. If we now eat or drink gene-manipulated food without knowing or even being able to know what we are taking in, there is no guarantee that the process of transference doesn't also run its course in us. That is, that we don't absorb manipulated genes into our body. It is not only through our nourishment that we can take in gene fragments. In principle, They can find their way into us via every medium because everything that we take in via our mucous membranes enters the internal parts of our body and searches out that spot where it fits. The pathways into the human body proceed via the mucous membranes of the respiratory tract, the stomach and the intestines as well as through the outer skin, be it only slightly damaged. The atmosphere is no longer in balance. Radiation pollution is constantly on the rise because of the high degree of radioactivity and the decrease of the protective ozone layer. As a result, our skin is overburdened, its natural protection, an acidic film, comes under massive attack from the increased radiation. And so, the skin of most people is easily permeated by outside influences, which means there is a danger that gene fragments can enter our body via the air, too. We can be certain that our genetic material has already been compromised by environmental damage, a radioactivity, chemicals, poison gases, and heavy metal poisoning. The body's immune system, too, has been damaged through multiple environmental influences. But among all these negative influences, genetic engineering is by far the most dangerous. The probability that genetic products may harm us increases at the same rate as the presence of other environmental poisons, for instance, radioactivity. This multiple environmental damage weakens our genetic makeup, it weakens our body cells and our immune system. Under these circumstances, we become more susceptible to the incorporation of gene fragments into our genome. Thus, air as well as water bears hidden dangers for us. Next headline is, Men is what he say dangers from genetically altered food. An increase in meat production falls into the area of genetic engineering. The great demand for meat, especially in the Western world, can be covered only through a massive support of certain foodstuff. For this purpose, the genetic makeup of the animals can be changed by means of genetic engineering. Unfortunately, in eating genetically altered meat, large amounts of gene fragments can be absorbed. Experience to date shows that the use of antibiotics, beta blocks and psychiatric drugs in pigs has its effect on people, for instance, in the form of allergies. If we have such effects now as a result of present methods of meat production, there are grounds to fear with a greater genetic engineering thrust in this large food chain. What changes should we fear when we eat gene-manipulated foods? Those changes which are visible on and in the body probably do not have the most serious effect. If we eat a tomato into which a fish gene has been inserted, we need not fear that our head will turn into a fish head, or our extremities into fins. However, it is very possible that changes in our mentality would take place as a result of our intake of animal products and the inevitable absorption of animal genes. Men is what he eats, these words express a spiritual truth. Every food has a certain vibration. In the form of food, animal cadavers are inherently of low vibration. The long-term consumption of such food has in all probability contributed to the fact that human beings have become coarser, perhaps even more brutal. Man does become what he constantly ate, unless he practices a higher ethical standard, which would enable him to be above the harmful effects of this food. But then, such a person would hardly crave animal foods. From a spiritual point of view, the enjoyment of meat is nothing more than the enjoyment of slaughtered, that is, murdered, animals. One cannot ignore the fact that the high consumption of meat products in the diet of the developed world has had an influence on the character and nature of individuals and over longer periods of time on the moral and ethical development of entire nations. Can one not already speak of a moral degeneration of mankind? How else can one explain the evident and constant rise in brutality, love of torture, excesses of all kinds, pornography, cruelty and coarse indifference? Even animals which are fed a lot of meat increase in aggression. Vegetarians not only live longer, as has been proven, but are usually of a gentler nature, too. Those who approve of genetic engineering argue that genes and gene fragments taken in with food do not reach the bloodstream and our organs, because our digestion breaks the food down into its simplest components and only then is it reabsorbed. This is true if our digestion were to function optimally. When a digestive system cannot function properly as a result of insufficient chewing, a lack in stomach acids, reduced gall juices, or deficient pancreatic enzymes, which leads to flatulence and fermentation, then larger molecular food particles can be reabsorbed,